be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven. To live with thee there.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to another exciting training day. Amen. This is a day the Lord has made. Hallelujah. And we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Because, I mean, there are a lot of people that can't enjoy it like we can. If you're not behind bars, you're not in a hospital, not in a coma, amen, hallelujah, not in hell, you got plenty of reason to rejoice, amen, because I know the folks that's in heaven are rejoicing, amen, giving honor to Christ who is the head of my life, amen, hallelujah, my producer, amen, and blessed brother, amen, Pastor Gerald O, amen, his lovely wife Sheila, amen, and all my friends that run for Christ, Word of Faith, Great Faith, amen, Action for God and all the different saints, U of M, amen, hallelujah. My friends in Canada and all around the world, I say praise the Lord. You know, I've been teaching on the covenant. And as one of the criteria for being blessed to God, and is I'm blessed by how God is going about it, because it's a key factor. And understanding, because people, they generalize or they're misled about this life in Christ, see, because it's been brought about as a religion, but it is not. It is about the kingdom of God and how it operates. Before I get too deep in this, let's go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this opportunity to come before your throne. We thank you, Jesus, for purchasing this opportunity for us, hallelujah, by the shedding of your blood and enduring the humiliation of the cross, amen, and your resurrection. We thank you for it. We thank you, blessed Holy Ghost, for being our guide, our teacher, our comforter, amen, our anchor, and we thank you. And Father God, right now we ask that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power you've made available for them that submit and obey you. Father God, we're asking that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father, we're asking right now that you would bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, throughout my life, and when you're a child, if your parents are in Christ, and I'm not going to get too deep off into that, you do have access to God through your parents, okay? But when you reach adulthood, you have to make a decision. And people want God to be what they want him to be. Historically, you'll see that men tend to try to make God in their own image. And you know, you'll hear things like, man wrote the Bible. Well, you know, anybody that has read it and studied it will come to the conclusion man didn't write the Bible, not without God. Because if man had wrote it, it would have been in order. Okay, the Bible does not follow an order like man. With man, man would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The Bible is 1, 9, 16, 24, 33, 8, 9, 4, 2, 1. Something. Case in point. Let me explain that, because I have a lot of new people, and I thank God for new people when I meet them. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, the chaos in the world is created by Satan. He got kicked out of heaven. His getting kicked out of heaven is in the last book of the Bible, okay, the book of Revelation, which was written 4,000 years later from the first book of the Bible. In the first verse of the Bible is the initial chaos that it speaks of in Genesis 1-2, is that the earth was void and without form came about when he hit the earth after getting thrown out by Michael the archangel. Now, that's another thing you have to give revelation, acknowledgement to. When you're dealing with God, you're dealing with the supernatural. And that's the primary objective of this life, because you have to associate that or accept that, acknowledge that reality. If you don't, it's going to mess your head up. You're not going to be, you can't grasp this on human level. You know, it just, because there are too many questions people have of which all the answers are in the Bible. But you know, that's the whole point of this, because man is, and it's amazing that this has become a controversy. And that is that man is a God-class being. Small g, always small g. Never, when applied to man, is there ever a capital G. There's only one capital G that will exist, and that's another reality you have to grasp. See, because men think they're in charge. They got this plan going on that they're going to execute and try to control the world. That was written also in the book of Revelation. It ain't going to work. Because humans, by nature, will rebel. If they rebel against the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, they certainly will rebel against man. Now, you know, my point is this. This is the main thing. You have to acknowledge God. Now, you know, I have a book that I release, and in the book, at the beginning of every chapter is a short prayer of asking God for revelation. You know, you simply say it. But now, again, God, because of the structure of life, the real structure, not what we imagine, you have to acknowledge that what God gave, and initially, in Genesis 1:26, God gave man control of the planet. But by the second chapter of the Bible, third chapter of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, man gave up control to Satan, Satan tricked him out of it. Okay? Now, because of that, when a person is born, they're born into primarily Satan's kingdom. And they have to be born out of his kingdom, a.k.a. born again. Okay? You got to accept that reality. It can be, because obviously it is, because, you know, 80% of the adult public don't believe this. It is what it is. Look at the facts of life, okay? I mean, you got to look deeper into this and how that even the nature, the spirit of man is so powerful and so intelligent. And the fact that my father introduced 100 million sperm into my mother, and yet I located one specific DNA identified egg and came out of there with 78 organs comprised of 200 different types of cell types, of which I control. Come on, you know, it takes more faith to believe that's an accident than to believe what it says in the first verse of the Bible, in the beginning God, all right? Now, a major point in this is that you have to acknowledge what I'm trying to get you to understand is as we go forward in time toward the end, things are going to get harder. And spiritual ignorance will be more devastating than the past. You know, I can't even keep up with people dying right now. And the age is irrelevant. Young people, 20, 21. I'm 71. I think the life we came through was harder than this life, and yet these folk are just collapsing. Young men having heart attacks. You know, it's crazy. You know, but the fact of the matter is, all these diseases just run around. That's another major concern. A lot of the issues people have to deal with, the threats against life, World War III. Well, you want to be in a secure relationship with the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. There's only one of him. That's it. Now, what we started out, we've been dealing with the Ten Commandments. Remember, we started out with Israel, the nation, how he brought about the nation of Israel, brought them out of captivity in Egypt. And when he got them to this particular place out here in the desert, near a mountain, he gave them the order of life. And that's what you have in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Okay, God lays down his order. Now, he at frequent times identified a fact that they are separate from other countries, other nations, other nationalities. And that's the main thing you have to understand. Excuse me. Now, he opened the door for anybody. Even then, if you were not natural born, he laid out, as we read in the commandments, that it applied to the stranger. The stranger was somebody that wasn't naturally born as a child of Israel, a descendant of Abraham. All right. So it wasn't that God was trying to exclude them, but what God, his people identified by the way they lived. You know, like they say, you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? All right. So we got two, the commandments begin as known as the Ten. But see, when you see in the Bible that it tells you to do something in the Old and the New Testament and don't give you an option like if or let, then that means you're supposed to do it, and that's without argument. So we went through the first one, and that is you shall have no other God, no other rulership, no other leadership in your life but God. That includes you. And that's usually the greatest challenge that people have. They want to be God in their life. They want God to be a genie and just give them what they want. And I've heard that, seen that throughout my life. I still see that now. That's why we have the present chaos as we have. That's why you have billionaires and homeless. If God is their God, there's no way. How do you explain? I wouldn't try to explain to God having $1 billion unless I knew that everybody within earshot, eyeshot of me, or that I could possibly know, was at least being fed daily and more than once a day. I wouldn't go before him. You know, in Luke chapter 16, you have two rich men, and one of them is in hell to this day waiting to go into the lake of fire. The other one went to heaven. So you can be rich. But God expects, he don't expect you to be responsible for the whole world, but you need to be in contact with him. Amen. And that's a great segue to where we are today. So we dealt with you shall have no other God. And as I said before, if you violate any of the commandments, you have to violate the first commandment before you do any other sin. Before that, you got to decide, okay, God, listen, I'm laying you off and putting you to the side, and I'm going to do this. See, and that this is the whole thing, that you got to keep God in the forefront of your mind in everything you do. Because we saw, you know, in some instances, but you know that it's the fact that, one, God did not give Adam the Ten Commandments, the first man made. He could have. They come from him. And he didn't give them to Noah. He did not give them to, he didn't even give them to Enoch, you know, who was, God loved him so much that he never saw death. And so, you know, but God waited, as it says in the word in different places, in the fullness of time. Why? So that we will get a picture of what is going on. That's what, and it's a hefty price that he paid to bring about this. I mean, up into including the sacrifice of his own first son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, and so it's with purpose, and that is because man is a God-class being, because we transition to another life form when we leave this body. I mean, people have gone so far, I've heard different things. They think you just lay there wrapped up in the body, sleep until, that ain't what happened. That don't even, you know what, if you look in the Bible in Mark chapter 9, you'll see a conversation between Moses and Elijah. Now, see, if people try to escape reality, it won't work. It won't work. That is a actual conversation. Amen. Elijah never died and Moses died. But, you know, you find out in the book of Jude, which most Christians have never read, it's only one chapter long, went and got Moses' body. Satan tried to stop him, but he failed because he does not have authority greater than the angels of God. All right. See, that's the other thing. You know, my first pastor, you know, when I first got delivered back in 1976, said when it comes to the Bible, you got to read the first verse and make a decision. I'm either going to believe this or not. Because after that, everything started to go all kind of ways. I mean, like I said in the beginning, you will find out quickly that man without God could not write, would not write the Bible the way it is structured. It is not in chronological order. But it is in order. It's in order with God. And the reason for that is because God wants to remain at the center, at the front, at the, okay? This is why you have all these, quote, denomination. The term, any denomination, when you hear the term denomination, that's a person that have decided, I'm not going to believe the entire Bible. You give me a denomination, I'll tell you what it is they don't believe, and they never, you know, it's sad that 100% of the time, when I, 100%, now I've been a Christian for 45 years, 46, when I ask them, did they consult with God about it, I always get no, okay? One of the most noted scripture that people quote, remember, they ignore. In all your ways, in Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, in all your ways acknowledge him, okay? Acknowledge him in all your ways and acknowledge him, okay? And he will direct your path. Don't lean to your own understanding. And then he'll direct your path. Don't lean to your own understanding because it's too deep. You miss this, you don't get to go, oh, okay, I got it. No. You got to get it right. Now, God gives us a lot of leeway, obviously. You know? I mean, it's that. So, we done got into that intro. So, we understand that man is a God-class being because it said that the primary base scripture for this particular program, training day, 1 John 3:2, it says, now we are the children of God. Now we are the children of God. Note that. We are the children of God. That's the, he's speaking to the body of Christ, okay? And what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, talking about Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that's glorious. That's glorious. And this is backed up throughout the Bible in many places. When you see glorified body, you don't have a glorified body right now. My body, even though, praise God, I went to see the surgeon to put my hip together, back together today, amen, and he said I'm good and I haven't damaged it roller skating, and he said I'm safe to do that as long as I keep the safety going, and I've been doing that, amen. Okay, all right, so we want to get back on track here where we are with the commandments. And again, the commandments is not to control, but to make you, in the process of trying to keep them, you will learn how that it is not that simple. And a lot of people, I've met people, they quit. They quit, but when you quit, your life get harder. See, this understand, saints, Christian is different. Now, we look the same as everybody in the natural, okay? You know, if you stood me next to a Muslim and a Buddhist, we'd all look human. But see, what does the other world see? Satan can see a Christian in the spirit. He knows when they are and when they aren't. And there are episodes in the Bible where it shows that they can do this. You got, I believe, Mark chapter 5 and Acts chapter 19. Read the whole chapter. You need to anyway. You know, that's what's wrong with Christians. They don't read the Bible. You know, they got 96 hours of TV time and 30 seconds of Bible time. And anyway, right now, you know, recently Florida, they had a hurricane. They had two hurricanes go through. Listen, a Christian can stop a hurricane or redirect it. But now there is criteria. And again, it is what it is. Now, people can debate that, but the fact remains, because I told you also, I know that you will notice a pattern of hurricane. There's a part of the South that they no longer go through, okay? Because there's a certain men and women of God down there that won't, that believe as I believe. They're not having it. But they also live by a certain standard. And the number one is they have a covenant through Jesus Christ that gives them that authority. It's a difference when you pray and ask God to do something versus you directly speaking to the issue yourself. And that's where we are now. Okay, a lot of people, a lot of Christians, because can't nobody else really ask God to do some things that he has empowered. And right now, throughout the whole world, Christians that lack knowledge of how the kingdom of God works are suffering the consequences. Okay? And then one is people assume that being, if you're a good person, that make you a Christian. No. If you have not acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you have not asked him to come into your heart, you are not a Christian. You can't just be good. And the worst way to find that out is when tragedy happens. You know, people will say, I'm a good person. What has happened to me? One, you got to forget, you got to remember what I said in the beginning. There is Satan. He did get control of the world. Okay? It was delivered unto him. You look at Luke 4:6, and Jesus didn't debate that with him. All right? So once it's delivered into his hand, it will remain in his hand, amen, except for that which the body of Christ can control. When Jesus come back, then he'll run it all. But until that time, you as an individual have to control your space. Remember I introduced you to three new words. You're conipotent, conipresent, and what is that, conscient. Okay? God is the greater. Omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. He has power all over the world. I have power over my little territory, over my neighborhood, over my power grid, over my household. I don't have power over everybody else's household. They choose it. That's a choice. That's a decision they make. All right. Now, that authority comes from Jesus Christ, which is initiated by me accepting Christ. But Christ means you have the anointing of God in you, okay? In the Old Testament, they had it on them, and that was only kings, prophets, and priests, all right? Not everybody. People need to understand these tales. That's why God had me doing this. You know, Steve, I could have just said, I left it. When I initially did the teaching on the seven causes of prayer failure, or seven causes of prayer success, the number one is covenant. So I'm helping you try to give you a point that if it wasn't so significant, God wouldn't have gave all these details. The entire book, if you like I said, I remember the first time I read Leviticus. It's a book. It's a challenging book to read, even in an amplified version, which is more English and expressive. It's still challenging. All right. So we got through there. We found out that, as I said, the first commandment, is you shall have no other gods. Don't make none that look like it. And if you'll notice, if you're a student of history, all the more fake gods, Zeus and all the rest of them that they came up with, disappeared off the scene once the Holy Spirit was released in the earth. And recently they're saying they're coming back. There are books out saying the return of the gods. That'll be after the rapture. Okay, and it might even happen before then because people are so goofy, they will allow these demons to come into their lives because people want power without righteousness. But see, the whole point of this is my life has to be subject to God. And I don't get to pick and choose how I'm going to live this thing. And believe me, I would be just like everybody else. Anyway, all right, so we got to the first commandment, the second commandment we went through. You shall have no other God. I sure mean, man. Okay. All right. Remember we talked about you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Shall not take. I remember the first time I read that, I'm like, this don't sound like it got anything to do with cussing. You know, people say, don't use the Lord's name in vain. You know, you know, profanity, as I say, is laying on your back and spitting up in the air. It's going to fall right back in your face. But that's another whole teaching. That's more about speaking, cursing your own life. And when you curse, even if you curse at somebody, it only affects you, okay? It only affects you. I'm not going to utilize it just as an example. Just know that when you curse, That's immediately applied to your life. All right. So don't take the Lord's name in vain. And remember, I talked about the fact that God is saying, be serious. Be serious. Because in the next chapter, chapter 21, he started out talking about a slave. And when I asked God about that, okay, how does this get to be priority over all the other things in your commandments? Why are you dealing with this? Because you would have thought that the next commandment, which is the Sabbath day, would have been the number one, and then later on down the road, well, God picked order. And what he was emphasizing when we read about it is that, one, the person was purchased, which we are purchased. I don't have a problem with God purchasing me. Then we make a decision to be totally committed to him and give up our lives. That's what a slave does. You give up your rights for the kingdom of God. And that's not a problem because you then, but the difference is with God is you have access to his power. You know, I know I got it in my notes somewhere. Jesus told the disciple, I no longer call you servants, okay? All right? Because we at a different level. You know, like I said, I'm not going to be omnipresent. My name won't be, you can't use my name and my prayer over in Italy right now. I can pray for Italy, but ain't nobody over there can pray in the name of Richard. But you can pray in the name of Jesus anywhere on the planet. See, like I say, you got to get all the pieces of this puzzle. That's why God had it written down, all right? And so we talked about it. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. And you see that. People go to church, and when they leave church, they act like they got amnesia. Who's your God? I don't know. They don't even know his name. They're never taking the time to analyze the revelation that God has provided. And that's sad. Because once God gave me the revelation of him, once he turned my light on, I sat down and read. I went and bought a $2 Bible and read that whole thing from cover to cover. I knew then that I had to be in contact with God and that I could not rely on men. First thing I noticed was I didn't see all these denominations in the Bible, not a one, okay? And the ones that in them couldn't explain them. You want to get the same definition from the same group of people. But anyway, all right, so the point of this is this explains, case in point, we had an incident here in America called of Uvalde where some children were slaughtered. Well, see, the parents had authority to pray and command angels to protect their children. But now if they have never been taught that, if they don't believe that, then Satan just rough riding, and that's what he's doing right now. All the chaos you see in the world is just from a lack of prayer. Now, again, any and everybody can't pray like that. That's what this teaching is about, to try to emphasize that God is he's more specific now, okay? Like I said, there's a lot of things I used to do that I would get away with. God called me on that. The Holy Ghost called me on that. Case in point, something as simple as, wear a hat. Like when I'm in the basement praying, most of the time before it warm up, I have on a hat. Yeah, big old red, my brother gave it to me, big red hat with the name Jesus on that. I mean, but, I'm allowed to wear that till it warms up, then I take it off. Something as simple as that, and I don't want to get all deep off in that. In other words, God, because I've been at this so long, he's demanding more from me. And that's the same thing. If you've been a saint for 45 years like I have, but you still haven't read the whole Bible, God gonna let you go through. Because we should grow. We should grow. We should not be the same place each year. Okay? And he'll measure your growth. He'll let you see. Because Satan is on wild, and he know it, Now, we began to this Sabbath day where we're going. It says in this is Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Okay, and then it goes into 6 days you shall work. Now, first, okay, because God only worked 6 days. I refused to work harder than God when I was working. God worked 6 days, I worked 6 days. The difference is that they were an autonomous society then, okay? Now, and that meaning that they had complete control of that aspect of life. Everything was handled through them. They were their own community. Unlike today, you subject to be anywhere working, unless you own your own business. And right now, there are very few businesses that close even on Sunday. Now, as I said, Sunday is the first day of the week, commonly known, according to the Bible, the Lord's Day. That is not the Sabbath day. Okay? And the simple fact that God said, give honor to whom honor is due, we are allowed to give God honor on Sunday. That is not a violation of the Sabbath day. Okay? Plus, now you got to understand that the nation of Israel then and the body of Christ now, there's some changes because it's written. This was a challenge in the early church, the first beginning of the first body of believers. Matter of fact, we might well go there. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2 so that we can get this. And this, remember, this is, you got to remember who's writing this. This is Paul writing this. And we're going to verse 16. Matter of fact, I want to, I don't want to read the whole chapter. I am going to start with verse 13 because you can probably grasp that. Now, okay, and you, talking to the Colossians, now you got a mixed group of people here. You got Jews and Christians, okay. So, Jews and Gentiles, formerly known as pagans, people that were not taught the laws of God. That's what a pagan and a Gentile is. They don't know God. They didn't know his laws, okay? And so culturally and genetically, they probably were not natural descendants of Abraham, okay? They may have came from another entire culture, okay? I'm not going to get into that. So you got a cultural difference. And yet, as I said earlier, that God is the God of inclusion. He did not intend to leave just to save one group of people. He intended to save mankind. And he can do that, okay? Congress had no say-so in what he does. All right, and he said, in you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, quickened or made alive together with him by having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Okay? You know, when you see Christ, that means the power of God in operation in the earth, in man. Okay? The power of God in operation in the earth, in man. All right? Now, you have to take note of, like I said, it was a cross between them, but the primary objective here, okay, matter of fact, I want to go through Matthew chapter 12 and get Jesus' input on this. I'm trying to draw a picture. Yes, all this is to establish what a covenant means, because the picture is for us to understand there is a group of people recognized by God, okay, that he has given authority to access his power. And it's a lot of tragedy and turmoil that people's lives go through that they don't have to go through. I mean, you're going to get challenged because there's a lot of moving factors in there. See, because remember when I was talking about how hard it is for Satan to knock out my power. He has to go through great lengths. See, so I'm ready for him. See, because I know he done backed down, the saints of the Most High God done backed him down from attacking Ukraine. So he's got a little more backup power to go to attack. Because he done pulled them demons out of Russia that's been attacking Ukraine. And so now he's got more demon power. See, and that's what he will do. If he can't get you one way, he'll try to get you another. And again, why does God allow that? So that in the process, if you're paying attention, if you're seeking the will of God, you will begin to understand. the Farmer's Almanac claimed was going to happen. Because enough of us are praying against the Prince of the Power of the Air, and it's a balance in there because the weather has a natural effect on the year out. So we can't just totally, you know, some things have to happen because of the nature of life. But then any inordinate, any perverted type weather, we can oppose. A tornado is perversion. That's perverted weather. Hurricanes are perversion. Okay, extreme snowstorms. That's perversion. We can, but again, to be able to do that, you have to. God is gonna, particularly a senior saint. Okay, they're gonna. He's gonna require that they step up to the standard. He's not gonna let you just lay around, just be happy-go-lucky and do what you want to do and then bless you. He's not going to, because the whole point of this is for you to develop it. That doesn't happen anywhere in the world where you just let a person just, people want to do that on their job, but you don't get to do that. You don't get to do that. Remember, I've said in the past, when I was on the SWAT team, we trained harder than the average police officer. We had to. We carried more strategic and heavier weapons. So it was more demanding on us. This is why you have groups like the Navy SEALs. It's more demanding on them, okay? So when you're talking about, think about this. See, when we talk Holy Ghost, because we don't get to take down a building or we don't get to fly, we don't really think he's that powerful. He's not a diminished version of the power of God. We just lack the discipline for God to reveal. To reveal what we can do. He has to limit that. Remember last time I talked about, I actually prayed that these folk fail with this super collider, okay? You know, because they don't know what they're messing with. They been blew up half the planet, okay? Everything they think is good ain't good. I mean, look what they are doing with nuclear power. We would not have that threat if they left that thing in the box. You know, after Einstein discovered it, the equation, he said we will have World War III, but they say World War III, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones, you know. All right, so now we're gonna look at Jesus. Jesus is dealing with this issue. Now, Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. If you have a problem with that, then, you know, some pages in your Bible you need to take out, like John chapter 1 and 1 Timothy 3:16. Okay, great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh. You got to understand, I've been trying to explain how that operates. Okay, God is omnipresent. Okay, you know, it's too deep. But at the very least, ask God about it. All right, he explained it to you at your level. I might not be able to do that. All right, it says at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and the disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of the corn. But when the Pharisees, this is a Jewish denomination that was created by man, when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." Anyway, and he said unto them, "What have you not read that when David was a hungered and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the show bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law that how on the Sabbath day the priests of the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that one that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is the Lord of even the Sabbath." And so, okay, I want to get down there. I'm looking for, anyway, okay, well, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. But bottom line is Jesus said he's in charge, and he is, because But anyway, he said he made the Sabbath for man and not man for the Sabbath. That's the one I'm looking for. I thought I had it down here. Bottom line is, okay, the Sabbath day, and there are, we're going to look at that there's more than one Sabbath, okay? And the objective of them all is to bring us, to remind us that God is our provider. It's a time for rest. And really, you need to take a break. Oh, yeah, there it is. It's in Luke 6:5, and he said, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath day. Okay, that's still not the one I want. But anyway, the point of it is, now, people, I see people, their whole denominations based on that. And that really, I find, come from low self-esteem. And how do you have low self-esteem when you're a child of God? There is no higher level. There are different responsibilities, different levels of authority in the chain of command and operation on the earth, you know. But you don't get better than being a child of God. Because, one, the very issue that we're talking about, which is the issue we're talking about is the covenant, which means it's about you having access to the power of God, okay, for your benefit. I'm wasting time here. it's the main thing. Again, the Uvalde situation shouldn't have happened. It could have been prevented. But again, that happened because somebody didn't pray and they never taught their children. If you teach children to pray, teach them what to do, they will, without hesitancy. That's why Jesus said he liked children, because they don't hesitate. They believe, you know, they believe it. And if you teach them, then that's a thought right there for those of you that still have young children. Teach them to command angels. Teach them. Lead them in a prayer of Christ. That's a guarantee to have access to the power of God. And teach them, into this day, in a situation where some madman under the guise of a demon come up in the church, up in the school shooting it up, that they could command angelic protection. God will hear them, because they have, most children have that pure heart. So, you know, this is where we are right now. God is not just sitting around watching the chaos go on. It's necessary for us to understand what he said. We have dominion, but you're going to do it under his guidance, not just any old kind of way. This is what you have throughout the Bible. You have other nations that decided what they're going to do. You know, I'm not going to get into all of them, but, you know, I mean, they have all different types of ways. I'm not going to talk about it today, but, you know, like this sacrificing of children. You know, people don't think nothing of that, but it is. They just recently uncovered a site of where they believe the Amorites, Canaanites, dwelt, and they have uncovered burials of children that were sawn in half. They had been burned alive, because that was part of their ritual. In order to have prosperity, they sacrificed their children. You know, you have to be, your mind has to be bound by a demon for you to be that crazy. How do you not have compassion for a child, particularly a newborn child? Something that's psychotic. That's demonic. But that happens with people that have no revelation of God or have surrendered the revelation they have. And I'm seeing that with Christians now, and the prophets are saying payout coming soon. Okay? God is going to separate the wheat from the tare. And the thing you have to be concerned about, this is the deep part, because we're moving into the rapture zone. Some of that is going to be, God will let you go on the way you are. He's not going to argue with you. you just get left behind. And if you get left behind after the rapture, you're going to be tortured brutally, beyond measure. What Hitler did to the Jews during the Holocaust would be something you would wish for would happen to you. It's going to be that crucial because you can't hide. Demons will be flourishing in the earth. And just as humans, they'll have complete control of people, and you can't hide from them. They'll be able to spot you like they got where they can see thermal vision, where they can see a person based on the heat in their body. That's how they spot you with the Holy Spirit. They know you. They know you. You need to know you. That is, like, as they say, quit playing with this thing. Quit playing with this thing. All right. So briefly, because I don't want to get into that, I'm going to move right along. We're going to talk about the different types of Sabbath. I just want to mention these, okay? In Leviticus chapter 23, you have let's read about this a little bit, because again. See, people talk about one Sabbath, and everybody I found that holler about them, they give me that blank look when I ask them about the Sabbath month, the Sabbath week, and the Sabbath year, because God had one. See, because they haven't read it, they heard what somebody taught them, and the thing about it is, again, now, they don't understand. They think they can be religious. And I'm going to be good because they're focused on if I'm good, I'm going to get to go to heaven and I'm going to live forever. Well, see, if you don't have Christ, you're going straight to hell. I'm playing with that. That makes a difference. That's all the difference. No unclean spirit can get into the presence of God. And you can't get clean without the blood of Jesus. Okay? So we're in Leviticus chapter 23. My other notes that. All right. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24. Where we at? All right. Check this out. Leviticus, speak unto the children of Israel in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and a holy convocation. The convocation is when they got together, and the congregation are virtually the same thing, gathering together. All right, but note this. In the year 2022, that day is on a Thursday, not on a Friday evening, okay? But now if you know any Jews, they'll let you know that they will be having that. Okay, so they'll have that. Then they'll have the regular Saturday Sabbath beginning on Friday. Okay, and there's some not too far from me that I've had conversations with. See, now I like talking to them because they live this. All right, as a matter of fact, for those of you that live in the Metro Detroit area and you see them guys in the black gangster hat, that's what I call them. Those are the tribe of Judah. Amen. They know they're the tribe of Judah. Okay, they just don't know that the Christ has come. But pray for them. That's all we can do for them. You can't. They unless they want to hear the scripture, they're not going to receive the scripture. But you have that. Okay. Now, I want to go to to chapter 25, and you're going to see here the Sabbath year. It said the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I shall give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. For 6 years you shall sow in thy field, and for 6 years you shall prune thy vineyards and gather the fruit thereof. For in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyards. All right. So the point of the matter there is, do you know I would have loved to have a year. Now, this is what God would do. And in relation to the Sabbath day, month, God would always make sure they had enough provisions for that period. They wouldn't just stop, be broke and hungry, okay? But they would have, what God would do, like each period of time, he'd make sure they had enough that Sabbath day wasn't a struggle for them. That Sabbath week wasn't a struggle. That Sabbath year, he would make sure they had enough provisions for 2 years to get through. Because he could do that. He's God. Okay? But again, they were autonomous. They were a separate society. And they had separate lands. And that's the other thing you got to know. They were in their own land. That isn't the case now. Now, here's a very interesting point. Now, I understand, and I think this needs to be, and I get that. Well, we are technically, again, when you study the term Jew is found in the book of Esther. I think that's somewhere around, I don't know, 500 B.C., all right? Now, that was given to them by pagans, all right, or non-Jews, all right? So, you know, people, what it did is their character, their behavior, their laws and their ordinances, the things that they would not do is how they were identified. So basically the term Jew and Christian identify the behavior of people. So if you're just acting like people that's in the world around you, they don't see no difference. That's why God put all this in here, because his people, for instance, you may notice more and more men kissing on TV. Well, that's not Christian. I'm going to tell you, if you're in that and you die like that, you're going straight to hell, and nonstop, and you don't get out. The only time you come out is to go before the white throne, and when you go before the white throne, you get cast in the lake of fire. That's in Revelation chapter 20 at the end. You can believe what you want to believe. You know, I just recently saw a former Navy SEAL that was a transgender that says he realized he was deceived. So now he's coming back to what he was naturally. And he realized this thing is deep. You're dealing with listen, you can't handle the devil by yourself. You cannot handle him without Christ. Again, Christ means the power of God operating with you, which is a dominant power, which means you have no excuse. Unless you're organically brain dead, brain damaged, you don't have no excuse. You know, because I've met people barely literate that they know you can't trick them out of their power of God. So that ain't going to work. Wow. We must be having fun because the time sure done went by fast. Amen. So anyway, we did get to the Sabbath day. All right? And if you want to keep the Sabbath, because there's some other portions in the Bible, that's on you. I mean, I don't do nothing on Saturday. That's just because I don't want to. But, you know, when I was working, I had flexible, well, I ain't going to say flexible work days that were rotational. They didn't always come. It wasn't a 9-to-5, and it wasn't a 5-day-week operation. You know, I would have days off like Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and that's how I had to do my 6 days. But I wanted to get to this one incident where this guy in Book of Numbers went out and picked up some firewood, just picked up some sticks, on the Sabbath day, and he was executed for that. So it is serious business, but God hasn't done that since Israel went into captivity. All right. But anyway, the point of the matter is all that is to emphasize that God should be part of every decision you make in your life. Don't do anything without consulting him. And realize that you have to have an agreement between you and God, and you have a part that you play. Amen. Well, maybe this is the first time that you heard of anything of this nature, or the Lord has been dealing with you. You know, if your mind and you're constantly thinking about you need to go to church, you need to hear Jesus, that's God. That's because people are praying for you. But, you know, you need to make that step. You have to make the decision to let Christ come into your life. And it's a simple process. You don't have to go through all that they had to go through thousands of years ago. Amen. You just need to say this prayer. Say, Lord God, I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe that you sent him to die for our sins. I acknowledge that I was born in sin, and I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth, I am saved. And maybe you're backslidden, and this may even be after the rapture that you're seeing this. Just ask the Lord, say, Lord God, I ask forgiveness in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, according to John, 1 John 1:9. Amen. You said, if I confess my sin, you are faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I am forgiven. Hallelujah. And I am restored. Amen. Well, I hope I said a little something to encourage you, to help you understand this. But understand this. You have access. If you've accepted Christ, start using your power. That isn't for just to get to heaven. It isn't just for you to get to heaven. Ask God to show you whatever it is you need done. You know, I just went through some challenges, and I just asked God. Now, he's going to walk you through the process, and it's different for everybody because everybody has to learn at a different level. So, but anyway, just know this. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Amen. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please hit the like button so that this can stay on YouTube so other people can see it. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
God plan.
Be like everybody, it's a broad road. Be careful who you're following. I'm so in love with what you've done in my life. There's no way I think I ever could go back again. God knows you don't have to be like everybody. It's a broad road. Be careful who you're following.
Travel the road with some people, don't make it out, but we emerge. Everyday battle, I'm fighting my demons. Live on the promises found in the word. Get rid of doubt, that can be cancer. If you let it seep into your mind, no matter the problem, I carry the answer. It's a fact, he's always on time. I never had a halo, but I got love for the people. Driving around, looked up, saw steeple. Walked inside, right down to the altar. Raised my hands, oh God, I need this. Handed me the word, young man, you read this. What about send my son, I bleed this. Grab that mic right there, get busy. Give them truth, that's all, they'll see it. Back in the building, we bringing the virus. And everyday walk, we will never retire. Don't have to be Sunday for you to get blessed. Turn on the record, you'll think it's a choir. No Kanye, but I've been through the wire. We've all had a struggle, we gotta get through. You ain't gotta be like everybody, believe it and see. You just gotta be you, truth.
God knows you don't have to be like everybody. It's a broad road. Be careful who you're following. I'm so in love with what you've done in my life. There's no way I think I ever could go back again. God knows you don't have to be like everybody. It's a broad road. Be careful who you're following.
Tell the devil be on my block. Showing me pains, pulling my strings, keeping me clutching the Glock. The path is wide, the game is whack. Evils are never returned. If you lose your way, you won't pay, and the cost will always burn. Don't trip up and get flipped up. Out here playing the clowns. That ain't your fam to bite your hand, putting the food in the mouth. It's a solo show, you need to know. Life is not a race. It's a journey for us to love and trust and chase the wolves away. Come on.
God knows you don't have to be like everybody. It's a broad road. Be careful who you're following. I'm so in love with what you've done in my life. There's no way I think I ever could go back again. God knows you don't have to be like everybody. It's a broad road. Be careful who you're following.